Praise God, church. Praise God, church. We are privileged to be once again under the feet of the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And as a church, we thank God so much too for having blessed us with this very new year. It's a blessing to be in this year, because many were the people that wished to have seen this year, but were not able to see it. It's not because of maybe who we are, or maybe our beauty or anything of us, but because of his mercies that endures upon our life. This morning, I'm privileged to talk on a title before we enter into the main prayer session. I want to encourage you about looking unto Jesus to live. Look to Jesus and live. If this year, if your desire is to go through this year successfully, if your desire is to cross over to the coming year, if your desire is to obtain the blessings of the living God, then the way out in this life for you to obtain that is to look to Jesus and you will live. The crises may be so many. The difficulties will overwhelm you. But when you look to Jesus, you will live through it all. David put it in Psalm 16, verse 8, that I have set the Lord before me always. I have set the Lord before me always. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Because he had set the Lord before him, and the Lord is at his right hand, he will never be shaken, no matter the storms. No matter the frustration, the disappointment, let them plan. Let them scheme. The Bible says it will come to nothing because it's not of the Lord. And that is the kind of heart that David had. And I'm here to tell you that if we will set the Lord before us this year, we will live. If we will look to Jesus in our fellowship with him, if we will look to Jesus in our marriages, in all the situations that we are in, if we will look to Jesus, it will not collapse in the course of this year. It will survive all the storms. It will survive all the storms of this life. We are privileged to have a team look to Jesus. What a perfect way to face life. What a perfect way to go through the life crisis, the difficulties in our day. The Lord has handed into our hands the keys to unlock all the attacks or all the circumstances that the enemy will bring in our way. God has given us the key in our hands, and we have it. You have it. The keys to unlock all your potentials if you've not realized them. And all is when you look to Jesus. When you look to Jesus, the keys are in your hands to unlock all those difficulties. Is it the barrenness? Is it the sickness? Is it the financial meltdown? All that you can think about, the keys are in your hands. And so this morning, I'm here to provoke you unto good works. And this year, my desire is that all of us will provoke each other unto good works. And so can you turn and tell the person sitting next to you, provoke me unto good works this year. Provoke me unto good works. Shall we come before the Lord in prayer? We cannot do without you. We cannot do without you. We cannot do without you. Oh Lord. We cannot do without you. We cannot do without you. We cannot do without you. Oh Lord. We cannot live without you. We cannot live without you. We cannot live without you. Oh Lord. We cannot live without you. We cannot live without you. We cannot live without you. Oh, Lord. our Heavenly Father, truly we cannot live without you. You have blessed us with this new year, yet we have no power, no strength of our own to go through without you. So we come before you this morning, Father. First of all, thanking you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all that you have done for us in the past years. And even at this being the third week, Lord, of this year, Father, for all you have done, they are awesome. They are great, oh God. We thank you, Father. For we are grateful unto you for your pre-plan that you have for us this year. That which you have laid ahead of us, that we should walk through them. Lord, they are awesome. They are great and mighty. We thank you for your pre-plan for our lives, Lord. We confess you as our Lord and personal Savior this morning, the ruler of our soul. We confess you as the creator of the heavens and the earth, the fullness thereof. And therefore, Father, unto your hands we lift up our gathering here this morning. You come and take preeminence, Lord. Make manifest your glory and show us your mercy, so Lord. Have your own way, Lord. Even as I stand here, Lord, may you nail me to your cross. Let the life that flow through Christ to us, oh God, flow through me. That, Lord, it will reach out to the lives of your people to bring about a change, the revival that they've been yearning for in their life. We thank you, Father. We give you all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Beloved in Christ, as I started, that David said, "The Lord have I set before me always. He is at my right hand, therefore I shall not be moved." This year, I believe you might have had a lot of resolutions. So many things that you want the Lord to do, they are all good. But I'm here to challenge you that if you have God set before you, it reaches to all those things that you have on your list. If you have God himself as the one that you are looking up to this year, as the team is looked to Jesus, it reaches far beyond all that you are looking up to. You may say, "Yes, I do know God and I love God. My commitment, dedication, everyone can testify about. It's really true." But God told the church in Ephesus, when you read Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 down to 5, my main emphasis is on the verse 3. It says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen." The church in Ephesus knew God, but still God has something against them. Just like we are today, in spite of our love, our commitment, deep down in your heart, you know how inadequate you have been responding to God's call. You know that you've lost your first love. The things you used to hold so dear to when you came to know the Lord, they are no more of value to you. The things that were driving you to do the right things are no more interested to you now. And therefore, you've forgotten your first love. You used to call sin, sin. No compromises whatsoever. You do everything, even at the peril of your own life, to make sure that the Lord's name is honored. But all these things cannot be said about you today. Where have you then fallen? Where have we fallen? Where have we fallen that our commitment, our dedication to the Lord are no more? We walk in a form of godliness defined by our own self, lacking the power thereof to bring about a change that ought to be seen in our own lives, let alone the people that hear us. We lack the power to effect a change in the lives of people, because the godliness we are professing are our own form of godliness. It's not of Christ that has the power to bring about a change that we need. Beloved in the Lord is admonishing us today that we have to repent. Repent and do the first works, or else the Lord says, "I come quickly and will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Unless you and I turn away and get back to our God once again, get back to our first love once again, get back to the point that we used to know God once again. If we do not, he says he's coming quickly. The Lord says quickly. He did not say, "I'm just coming." He said quickly. That means he means business. He's really coming to take away our lampstand, that which gives us light, that which gives us life. He's about to come. We may be in our day of grace, but soon he will appear in our lives to take away that lampstand if we do not repent. Beloved in the Lord, we would only live and survive if we set our hearts to look to Jesus in all our ways. Not some ways. David said, always. He set the Lord before him. Not some of our ways. Not the ways that we think they are convenient, or I'm able to sustain it, or I'm able to control it, or maybe I wish God should step in, but the other one, no. Always. And so what are some of the people we can think about as we look at this particular situation and we get on to pray? When you read something in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verse 12 down to 14, it reads, "The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off men and beasts from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God." The Bible talks about three men. They are three ordinary men like you and I. They are not people of a different maybe planet or maybe different tissues. They have blood flowing through them with the same body as we have. And yet these people honored the Lord. They lived their life to the fullest. There were people having families. There were people with so many maybe responsibilities as you may have. Or maybe they maybe have more than you do. Yet those things weren't obstacle in living their life to the fullest. Therefore, God said, should they be found in a country or the land that persists in unfaithfulness, like the one we just read about, they will save themselves. They will save their life by their own righteousness. These people, should they be found in the land like our world today, the land that persists in unfaithfulness, our world today where there is no truth, our world today where judgment had been perverted, where there is no more fear of God, people have become lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. If they are to be found in our day, like we are today, that persists in unfaithfulness, the Bible says that they will save themselves by their own righteousness. The calamities and the disasters that are happening, the financial meltdown, the terrorism, the breakdown of moral standard, famine, and all that you can think about happening all across the world, all these things are as a result of our own unfaithfulness towards God. We've been unfaithful. Our lives are evil on this land. The idols that we harbor in our lives, the things we are so acquainted to, we are not willing to let them go, had now become personal idols that are controlling our life. And as a result of all these, had brought in so much disaster in our land. For some of them, we have no idea as to why they are happening. They could be as a result of evil altars that are probably been placed at secret places. There are evil altars placed at secret places where human beings are offered on every now and then for power and authority. And as a result, there is a curse on the land. And it could be in your workplace. You don't know the foundation of that particular work situation. You are in now. Things are not going on well. This is the land that is under a curse. A world that is under a curse. And as such, we have to live a life that could bring God's deliverance on our lives. And that is the life that Daniel, Noah, and Job led. And as a result, the Bible says God promised that he will deliver them. He will save them. Should they be among them by their own righteousness. Beloved, in a country like that, God will only save people whose life debates that of Noah, Daniel, and Job. They will save themselves by their own righteousness. In Genesis chapter 6, we are made to understand that God found Noah as a righteous man, somebody who walked with God during his time. Noah, in absolute obedience, overcame the world. He looked to God in absolute obedience. No compromises whatsoever. There were challenges of looking for fame. There were challenges of looking for power. There were challenges of looking for money. So many things, like our present situation. Yet he did not allow none of them to overcome him. He submitted absolutely to the command of God, to the order of God on his life. And are we in that situation today, ready to sacrifice everything to obey God? Are we going to choose God over the unfaithful world's offer and leave? Or we are willing to go by the order of the day and at the end of the day find ourselves in a doom? How do people around us see us? Do they see us people that love the Lord? Can they testify that we fully obey God? Can they testify of our obedience to the Lord, ignoring the illicit money, the illicit power, that illicit favor? You know so well that that which they have been offered to you, it is not right. But because of need or because of not willing to obey God, you decided to choose that offer and forget about what the Bible is saying or what God is asking you to do. Noah, in absolute obedience, chose God and lived. He walked with God all the way. Ezekiel mentioned Daniel as the second person. Daniel died to self, self-denial. As we look to Jesus, it also demands that we die to ourselves. You cannot look to Jesus and let your flesh dominate or what you want dominate. That is not possible. Because there cannot be two kingdoms in one house. It has to be only one kingdom to rule in a house. And so God expects us to die to ourselves, like Daniel did. He ignored the pleasure and the opportunities presented to him in order to please God. The book of Daniel tells us a lot about how this guy deliberately denied himself from so many opportunities. You can think about one when he has to face the fiery furnace with his brothers because he wants God's will to prevail. You can think about the chapter 3 where he has to also forego the pleasures and all that the world would offer him in his position and choose God and therefore had to suffer for that. He preferred to look to Jesus than King Darius and to be thrown into the den of lions. Daniel dies to his flesh and choose to look to Jesus and live. Daniel chapter 6. Beloved, this world that we are in is full of sin, and it will come on us whether we like it or not, with the choice of choosing to die to ourselves' comfort or to satisfy them. That challenge will meet you this year. That challenge, you keep struggling with it. But then Daniel died to the self and he lived. If we would have it in our mind to die to ourselves, Daniel chose to look to Jesus. And he overcame his flesh and was accorded unto him a righteous man. Daniel chose God all the way. The last person that Ezekiel mentioned was Job. Job endured all hardness. As a good soldier, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible admonishes us to endure all hardness as good soldiers of the Lord. Looking to Jesus demands that we also endure hardness. For this year is not going to be that easy. Things are not going to be as maybe we plan. But for those that shall endure till the end, the Bible says they shall be saved. If you endure hardness, you shall redeem your life. And Job was counted as somebody who endured the pain he has to go through. In a day, the Bible says Job lost his wealth, his servants and his children. What a great tragedy. How many of us can stand such a pain, such a loss? How many of us, when we are fired in the workplace, the whole world seems to be upside down for us? Our complaints rises. We begin to share blames as to who caused it. But we did not read about Job complaining or accusing God for any evil. He endured all that he has to go through. And as a result of that, the Bible says he lived. His end became greater than the beginning. And if we too would learn from his life, that no matter what we go through in this life, if we will look to Jesus, he looked to God. And one of the response that he gave in Job chapter 1, 21 is that he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and he has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Can that be what can proceed out of us in moments of disappointment, when we are in a state of loss, pain, where people doesn't seem to show concern about your situation? Can you say that may the name of the Lord be praised? In your situation, can you still worship the living God for what you are going through? Job did it. In that moment of pain and loss, he praised God. And so the Bible says in the 22 that in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with evil. His health was attached to the lowest point of shame, that the wife could no longer accept it and therefore advised the husband, why don't you curse God and die? In all this situation, there weren't enough to overcome the love that Job had for the Lord. There weren't enough to enable Job to curse our living God. He lived through all those challenges. He looked to Jesus over all those things and he lived. And if we will also look to Jesus this year, beloved in the Lord, we will live. Job didn't just live, but then one thing that is so remarkable about him is that he overcame the prince of all the demons, Lucifer. Because the Bible made it very clear that it is him that went to attack him. Lucifer seek that privilege. And so all that happened to Job were the handiworks of Lucifer himself. Maybe for us, it's just a little demon that is attacking us. Should Lucifer take permission and get into our land, maybe in a day we will all melt. But this guy, with that heart of endurance, the Bible says he was able to overcome Lucifer himself. With all that he could do, he was able to overcome him. And so what, again, in this life will be too much for you and I to overcome if we look to Jesus? The prince of all the demons was overcome by Job because of his absolute commitment, his endurance to the Lord. If we will look at Jesus, if we look to Jesus, we would also have that same courage to overcome all the works of the enemy. And so this morning, are we ready to look to Jesus? Are we ready to look to Jesus? I can't hear you enough. Are you ready to look to Jesus? Are you ready to look to Jesus? Beloved in the Lord, the Bible says something in 1 John 2:17. The world and the fullness thereof shall pass away, but those who do the will of God shall abide forever. The world that you look at today, the beauty, the glory, the honor, the fame, and all that you can think about, the Bible says will fade away, will pass away. But for those that do the will of God, those that look to Jesus, those that look to Jesus will live, they will abide forever. And therefore, if we want to survive, if we want to go through this year, then we have to look to Jesus in absolute obedience as Noah did. If we want to survive, if we want to go through this year, then we have to look to Jesus to die to ourselves like Daniel. If we want to survive and go through this year, then we have to look to Jesus to endure all hardness as Job did. The world that we see, the beauty of it, and the pleasures therein, the Bible says, shall pass away. So where lies your hope? Should you be driven by the things of this world? Should you be controlled by the things of this world? Should your focus be on the things of this world? Should your decisions be influenced by your family, the things around you? If these are the things that control you, the Bible says that they shall all pass away. But if you look to Jesus to control your life, the assurance is that you will live and you will live forever. This morning, I'm here to tell you to take your eyes off the things of this world and look to Jesus and live. Take your eyes off the things of this world and look to Jesus to do the first works that you used to do, so that your first love will be rekindled again, That our Father will not come and take that lampstand away, that you be in utter darkness. I'm here to tell you to take off your eyes from the things of this world and look to Jesus to do greater works, because the Lord is about to do greater things this year. And he needs you, he needs me to do those greater works. But our eyes cannot be on the world and on the Lord at the same time. Our eyes must be fixed on Jesus. It must be on him so that we will be empowered to do these greater works. Again, are you ready to look to Jesus? Are you ready to look to Jesus? Then shall we please be on your feet as we come before the Lord in prayer. Stand on your feet as we come before the Lord in prayer to look to Jesus. Begin by just thanking God for blessing us with this beautiful year. The year that comes with much abundance of God's provision. The year that comes with the glory, the blessings of God. Thank God for giving you life. Thank God for giving you the privilege to be his son or his daughter. Just thank God for your family. Every situation you are in, the blessings of this morning are so awesome. Just thank God for blessing us even this morning. Open up your heart. Talk to God. Bless the Lord. Tell your soul to bless the living God. Tell your soul to worship the mighty King. Tell your soul to exalt him, for he deserves all the glory. Bless the name of the living God. Bless the name of the living God. Bless the name of the living God. Lift up his holy name on high. For he is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. There is none awesome, great, and mighty like he is. He has hedged you from the devourer's attack in the past years. And he is in your life this year to do awesome, to do great. That accusation could have taken you to prison. But God delivered you. You know not how. But by his mighty hand he did it. Just bless the mighty name of the living God. Exalt him. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the praise. He deserves all the honor. There is none awesome and mighty like he is. There is none like him. He has the hand to save. He is mighty to save. Beloved in the Lord, this morning, I want you to forget about the next person sitting or standing by you. Because the Bible says we are not going to stand before any of them to give account of our life. As to what the Lord wants from us, whether we were able to do it or not. We are all going to stand before the King of kings and the Lord of lords, one after the other, to account of our own lives. At that moment, that person will not be there to defend you. Forget about the fear, the shyness. And if you need that Holy Ghost empowerment, if you need the rekindling of your first love, if you need that first works to once again appear in your life, leave your seat and come forward. Leave your seat and come forward. If you want that first love to be rekindled again, if you want that first works to be seen once again in your life, those times that you used to call sin, sin, no more polishing them as a white lies. If you want to face life as God wants you to, you need that empowerment. And I would encourage you to leave your seat and come forward. If you are interested, if you want it, if you have that conviction in your heart, there are people that are ready to pray with you. There are people that are here to agree with you. Come forward. Forget about whoever is standing by you. That day of reckoning will come and there will not be anyone to defend you. Not even your parents can stand and defend you. Not even the closest person in your life can defend you. You are going to stand before the judgment throne alone. It is going to be alone with you and God. Whether you are able to fulfill your God-given purpose, whether you're able to live up to expectation, whether you're able to stick up to your first love, whether you're able to do your first works. The Bible says, repent, I come quickly. The Lord is coming. If you would acknowledge your situation and come before the Lord, we have a saving God. He's ready to save. He's ready to save. He's ready to restore. He's ready to empower. He's ready to fulfill his purpose in your life this year. You might have been struggling with life for so long a time. Issues that you've been battling with had been so much in your life. You lack the power, but the Holy Ghost is here this morning. The Holy Ghost is here this morning. The Spirit of the living God is here this morning. To minister to your life, just cry it out. I just want you to cry it out first. Cry it out to the Lord. Just cry it out to the Lord. Brother Iros. Brother Lero. Brother Jim, Brother Frank, Bra Martin, Bra Ross, please, can you guys come forward and begin to surround them as you pray? And other deacons around, can you please come around them and begin to pray for the Holy Ghost empowerment, for the release of the special unction that they need to fulfill their calling this year, their purpose, that hunger to live righteously, that hunger to live in purity, that hunger to fulfill the purpose of God. That's going to pray for them. Minister to their life. Pray for them. For that Holy Ghost empowerment. That's going to minister to their life. Father, your children, they need you, Lord, oh God. We call upon you today. Lord God, the Savior of our soul. Lord, the helper of our soul. Father, we've responded to your call for rekindling, Lord, oh God, of our first love. What we had forgotten to do, Lord God, we call on you, Father, once again to rekindle it. We pray for the Holy Ghost empowerment upon our lives. Father, reach forth to the lives of your people. Lord, let the power of the Holy Ghost, let the power from on high put upon their lives. Let the strength of the Almighty God come over them in the name of Jesus. That they will be able to do the first work that they used to do. They will be able to minister in grace and in power. They will be able to demonstrate your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come afresh upon their lives. Holy Spirit, come afresh, O Lord. Grant them the freshness of your anointing. Grant them the freshness of your power, Lord, to face the challenges, O Lord. Father in heaven, we bless your name, O Lord, O God. We bless your holy name, O Lord. We bless your holy name, O Lord. We give you all the glory. Beloved, if you are here or you know somebody who is trusting God for the fruit of the womb, if you are here and you've been married for a long time, you've been praying, or you know somebody whom you've been praying for the fruit of the womb, you can just lift up your hand up and just begin to pray for that empowerment from the Lord to brood over that particular womb, to take away every malfunctioning of the system, every inefficiency to be replaced by the power of the Holy Ghost. Begin to make that confession for the release of the power of the Holy Ghost. To make that which is impossible, the doctor's declaration, to be null and void. Speak out to the Lord. For the Lord is about to bring about fruitfulness in the womb of his people. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we speak forth your word right now. That brings about fruitfulness, Lord, in the wombs of your people. Lord, the barren in your house, the barren wheresoever, Lord, they are, we declare that fruitfulness, oh Lord, let them be fruitful in the name of Jesus. As your word has come forth, let the power of the Holy Ghost brood upon their lives, oh Lord. We bless your name, oh Lord, oh God. Finally, we are praying for the sick. You may be sick here yourself, or you know somebody who is sick. We are trusting the mighty hand of the living God. The Bible says, under the wings of the Son of Righteousness dwell healings for his children. And therefore, we are trusting God that the Son of Righteousness will arise this morning and will stretch forth his wings that will bring healing over his children. That we to pray that whosoever is sick that you know, if you yourself, you are sick, just begin to talk to God that, Lord God, may you arise over my sickness. Stretch forth your arms that there will be healing over my life. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, right now we trust in your might and in your power. The Lord, thou will stretch forth your hand. Yea, let thy hand be stretched over the lives of your people to bring instant healing, the healing of every disease, the healing of every situation, the transformation that ought to be seen, O Lord. We bless you, Lord, our King of glory. Be thou exalted, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, O Lord. Those up front can sit down, but the people that came to pray for them, I will still want you to still line up. You may sit down, but those that came to pray for them, like our elder and other people that came, you should still stand, but you can sit down, right? And I want you to face the congregation. I want us to pray two kind of prayer over our lives as a church this year. You just face the congregation. The congregation can sit down if they liked you. And I want us to pray. This is the first prayer, that the Lord God will perfect the things concerning each and every member of this house. Whatsoever promises that the Lord has for his children this year. Every promise that the Lord has for a family this year. Everything that God has concerning anyone. We are crying on God that, Lord, in your absolute mercy, may you perfect them in their lives. Those in front, I want you to just begin to pray. And those sitting down, they begin to pray. Make that confession. Claim God's perfection over everything concerning your family. God's perfection over everything concerning your own life. Everything concerning your situation. The Lord is able to perfect them. He's able to watch over them, to bring them to a completion. Talk to God for the perfection of God over everything in your life. Father, we seek your mighty hand of perfection, Lord, to prevail, Father, over your church, Lord. Father, prevail over every family. Prevail, Lord, over every business, every health situation, every financial situation. We trust you that, Lord, thou will perfect it, O Lord, O God, in accordance to your will. In the mighty name of Jesus. Secondly, I want us to pray and tell the Lord to be God. We are saying that, Lord, be thou God over our lives this year. Come what may, Father, let us see your Lordship at reign over GICF. Let us see your Lordship reigning over our families. Let us see your Lordship reigning over our businesses, our working life, every facet of your life. Let us begin to pray and release that anointing, that power over his church. Begin to pray for your family as well as you sit down there. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that, Lord God Almighty, that in your infinite mercy and love, you be God, Lord, over our church, O God. Be thou Lord over everything that we find ourselves doing. As a family, as a body of Christ, as individuals, as working life, whatsoever the situation may be. Oh Lord our God, be thou Lord over it, O God, and reign in might and in glory. We bless your holy name, O Lord. We give you all the glory. Finally, I want us to pray. We are serving a God of new things. The Bible says, for his mercies are new every morning. And the Lord has a new thing for you this year. He has a new thing for the church this year. And I want us, as we pray, the Lord God of new things, may you begin to lead us into a new dimension of your divine glory. New dimension of your purpose for our lives. That which will take us to your glory. Begin to pray that the church will move in the dimension of the living God. Your family will move in the new dimension that God has for you this year. Just talk to God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God Almighty, we trust you to move, O Lord, in your own supernatural way to bring about something new in your church. Bring about something new in every family. Bring about something new in the lives of your people. Let us be witnesses, O Lord, of your new move, your new power, your new direction, your new revelation, your new spirit, O Lord, that will come upon us, O Lord, to empower us. We bless you, Lord, our King of mercy. Be thou exalted, O Lord. Be thou glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. Our dear God, thank you, Lord, for your awesome presence. For your power, Lord, that has been released, Lord, over our lives. Father, we ask for your divine forgiveness, Lord. For all the things we might have done against you. The things we might have done against each other. The things we might have done against people, Lord, in our circle of influence. Our failures, our disappointment. Negligence and failures, O God. O Lord, we plead for your mercies, O Lord, this morning. As a church, we ask of your forgiveness. As families, we ask of your forgiveness. As individuals, we ask of your forgiveness. Father, for we know that, Lord, we are whole spiritually today. We know we are whole, oh Lord, physically. We are whole, oh Lord, financially. We are whole emotionally, socially, Lord. Every aspect of our life today, Lord, had received your divine healing because of your forgiveness, Lord, over our lives. Father, we plead your purification and your cleansing, Lord, over our lives and all that we find ourselves doing. Father, as your children, O Lord, we stand on thy word that declares that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And for that reason, as we go through this year, we know the enemy will gather to plan against us. There will be gatherings of the wicked. But as long as they are not of you, the Lord, Father, they will not prosper. The enemy will not prevail over your church. The fighting men will not prevail over your church. The fighting authorities will not prevail over your church. Likewise, they will not prevail, Lord, over our lives as individuals. We thank you, Lord, our King of Glory. Upon your word, O Lord, we stand this morning, O Lord, and bind and bring to no effect, O Lord, the spirit of confusion, the spirit of unbelief, doubt, fear, envy, strife, jealousy, selfishness, pride, lust, divorce, lying to each other, cheating, stealing, grief, depression and anger that will come against us this year. Father, we declare them all ineffective in the name of Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord God, you've not left us, Lord, as orphans, but has made provision that it takes for us to overcome every work of the enemy. We thank you, Lord God, for the armor of God. Father, you've given us the helmet of salvation, which as a church we put on in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, you've given us, O Lord, the breastplate of righteousness, which as a church we put on in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, you've given us the belt of truth, which as a church we put on in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, you've given us the shoes of peace, which as a church we put on in the name of Jesus Christ. And above all, Father, you've given us the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit to war against the enemy, to dispossess him of any work that he would raise against us this year. Father, for we thank you that you are with us, and so we are more than conquerors. We thank you, Lord, for the power that is in the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the power that is in the word of our living God. We thank you for the power that is in the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the warring angels that are in heaven at our disposal to overcome every work of the enemy. We thank you for the authority given us as sonship with Christ Jesus. And therefore we reign with Christ this year. Lord, as a church, we thank you for your goodness. As a family, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, as individuals, we thank you for your goodness. Father, we are not living, oh Lord, the lives of our singles unattended to. Many have the desire to get married. Some are up to age, yet haven't found their partners. Some are up to age, have found their partners, lack the resources. Father, some are still trusting you to unveil any form of darkness that is blinding them from beholding their partners. Father, we agree with all of them and we lift them up before your throne of mercy. You are our help in times of need. May you reach forth your hand, Lord, to help every situation. The situations of the singles, Lord, in the name of Jesus, may you reach forth your hand and help them. Bring about your will in their life and let your throne forever be praised in them. We thank you for your hand over marriages. The one who has sustained it from ancient of days to this moment. Father, we are looking to you that all marriages will live. We are looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Be thou exalted, our King of Kings. Be thou glorified in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we take our seat? Thank you all for coming.